This is such a scary good time to drive right now, and you can take full advantage at CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. Fun at CJ Wilson Mazda means no high-pressure sales, just regular people treating you like a neighbor. What a great time to buy or trade at CJ Wilson Mazda with special monthly incentives all month long. Test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda today in Orland Park, Countryside, and now Lake Villa. Always online at ZoomZoomNation.com.
We'll look at the tape.
It's intentional grounding.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hope.
I'm filing.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome in from Lambeau Field in Green Bay. This is episode 59 of Intentional Grounding. Adam Hogan, Adam Johns here with you with the Danny Trevathan episode because I didn't look up anybody in Bears history, and he currently plays for the Bears.
He's been playing okay with a broken or a cast on his hand, so why not, right?
Why not? That's basically the motto of the rest of the Bears season. I don't know what that means, but I guess why not try anything at this point? The Bears are officially 1-6. I don't know that this game went exactly as you and I predicted, just in the way it started. The fact it was 6-3 at halftime, maybe that was a little bit closer. But when it was all said and done, the score pretty much reflected what we thought was going to happen here, and that was that the Packers were going to win comfortably.
Yeah, but look, I don't know how you feel about Brian Hoyer. I think he's been better than a typical backup quarterback. He is putting up a lot of yardage, and the Bears could have used some yardage tonight just to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. Look, when Matt Barkley is in, I don't know what this loss means. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, you're down to your number three quarterback. You got Kyle Long hurting his arm. You got Brian Hoyer breaking his arm. It's just not good. I know injuries have been the main story all season long, but just in terms of what this game was, look, when Matt Barkley is your quarterback, you know this game is going to get away from you.
Yeah, he's in the Jimmy Clausen range of quarterbacks. I mean, which didn't they play each other in college? Wasn't that like the rivalry of California quarterbacks, if I'm remembering my timelines correctly? Jimmy Clausen, Matt Barkley, USC, Notre Dame. I think that's right. Look, you're right. Brian Hoyer is a good backup quarterback, which means, you know, he's somewhere in like the gray area between starter and backup in the NFL, which is what you want as your backup, right? One of those guys. And so he goes down tonight, and that was it. I mean, that really was it. And going forward, that's going to be it unless Jay Cutler can come back for this Monday nighter against the Vikings. So let's start there, first of all. John Fox, after the game, I asked him, look, you got 10 days. Can you get Jay Cutler ready to go? Wasn't expecting a definite answer, of course, but he did say that Jay Cutler is getting closer. That was something he said, and with 10 days, I think they were willing to be patient with how good Brian Hoyer has been playing, but Jay Cutler needs to come back now because Brian Hoyer's not there. So if the plan was going after the bye, do you push him up here to face the Minnesota Vikings on Halloween? Because otherwise, you are going to get embarrassed on national television for the fourth time this season.
We've seen Cutler. He's throwing balls around. He's not officially partaking in practice, but he's catching balls. He's throwing balls. I don't know if the velocity of a Jay Cutler typical throw is there, but at least he's not sitting in the sideline with his arm all casted up and he's out for the year. He's actually doing some things in some active fashion on the field, although it's not official practice time. So, I mean, yeah, what else do we have to look forward to this year? Pernell McPhee returned tonight. Obviously, he was limited coming off the PUP list and not playing in an awful long time. I didn't think he was overly rusty, even though he called himself rusty. So, yeah, Jake Cutler is the one return we kind of need to keep the season going. I mean, the Bears need something, and he's a player who would provide.
So would you move him up?
If he's ready. I mean, I don't think he's. Could he play? Yeah, possibly. Were they looking post-bye? Yeah, likely. They wanted to give that ham as much time to recover because he is one hit away from re-injuring it. Yes, he will always have that, but you need that hand to get at least closer to 100%. But right now, what other choice do the Bears have? Right, it's a lost season. They want to be competitive. John Fox still wants to win games. Forget about that first pick dreams that you, some of the fans and listeners have. But Jay Cutler, can you play hero and salvage some of this season? We'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, well, they need him on Monday Night Football on Halloween. And John Fox also said he's waiting for the doctor's clearance. Fine, but that's always a gray area, you know, between what the player is willing to play through and what the doctors are willing to clear. There's always a discussion there. It's not a fine line as much as John Fox wants to make it out to be a fine line. So that'll be obviously a storyline we follow in the next 10 days. But kind of continuing to focus on this game, you mentioned that Kyle Long hurt his hand. John Fox said that he could have come back in an emergency situation. He also said it was similar to Bryce Callahan in that it's a muscle injury. So that tells me it's different from the labrum issue that he's already been dealing with. And it's also a good thing that if he could have come back in an emergency situation, that means he's not out for the year or anything. Or now he could still miss extended time. We'll see. But anyway, let's hear from Kyle Long because he talked a little bit about that injury and also just sort of his mindset right now as his football team is 1-6.
It's been kind of an avalanche of injuries for you guys all year. How do you process this here as they add up?
Just do everything you can from a treatment standpoint to get ready to be competitive as a player.
What prevented you from coming back out in the second half?
I couldn't. I mean, I my arm up pretty good. I was ready if need be in an emergency situation, but they were just trying to be careful.
In the first quarter? Or was it where you came in?
Yeah, I mean, I got my arm up, so it's just, you know, tough spot to be in.
Do you have any sense preliminarily of how long it
Nah, I mean, I don't stay out, so we'll see.
You guys have a little run here where you play one game in 3 weeks, more or less. Is that good to kind of get everybody healthy?
You know, yeah, I guess.
Healthier.
To get some time would be nice. But, you know, it is. Once that break ends, it's going to be 8 more of them, and so you got to be ready to play.
How challenging has it been mentally, offensively? You guys haven't been whole at any point this year. It seems like it's hard to get any sort of rhythm on top of your big arm.
It's tough. It's tough. And the defense is playing so hard. Defense is playing really hard. I mean, we're both sides of the ball are playing their butts off. Special teams as well. Just got to put it all together.
Seeing the play where Brian went down, what do you see on that play?
Julius Peppers in front of me. You know, I just saw that he was stepping up, and you know, I turned around, I saw he was on the ground, so I went to help him up, and I knew right away there was something wrong.
Is that the play you got hurt on?
No.
Because you went to pull him up, and he stayed down, right? Or did he come back down?
He stayed down.
I know you guys are taught to ride the highs and lows, but with the injuries, do you ever look around and go, really, again? I mean, it's...
We don't, I mean, you can't do that.
It's human nature, too. Right?
Yeah, it is human nature, too, but it's kind of a... It's not human nature to run into people. It's not human nature to go out 10 degrees and play football. Injuries are part of the game. We understand that. A lot of guys play hurt. A lot of guys tough it out. We just have to continue to try to keep each other healthy and in practice and all that stuff and do a good job of getting the treatment you need to get and taking you know, taking some of the other stuff out of your life maybe and putting more proactive treatment stuff into your life. You only have 24 hours in a day, so you got to do what you can.
Zach called it embarrassing, the 3 primetime losses, the way they've happened. Is it embarrassing for you guys?
Pretty embarrassing.
So there's Kyle Long in the locker room. You could sense some frustration there with the arm injury. He's saying all the right things in terms of playing through these injuries and how injuries aren't an excuse for the team. But come on. I mean, it's, you know, with Kyle Long and Tracy Porter, these guys are banged up, it seems like, two or three times a game. They're playing through it all. And you got to give them a lot of credit for that, especially with where this team is at right now.
Here's my thought on that. Okay, Tracy Porter is a veteran. How many years does he have left, right? He's basically playing it game by game. He doesn't have much guaranteed money in his contract. I mean, this could be it for him. So let him get as much as he can out of his body. Now, Kyle Long is a different story. This is a franchise player. This is the face of your franchise, really, too. You need to be careful with this guy at some point. Yes, he is as tough as they come. And I love that about him because that's what makes him so great. He is a rugged, come-after-you player, and it's what you love up front. He embodies what they want to be as an offense, as an offensive line, is really everything. He is that tough character. You need to have that tough identity that you want. But at some point, someone's got to step in and say, hey, Kyle, we need you for longer than this year. We're 1-6. The odds of us going 10-6 are look, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. We need you to be healthy next year. We need you to be mindful of what's going on with your body. And look, I think Kyle Long's a very smart player. I think he's a very smart person overall. And I think his toughness is such a valuable quality characteristic to have from him. But at some point, they have to look past the Vikings, look past the Redskins, the Buccaneers, and what's coming on for the rest of the schedule. This is bigger than this year. Yes, he wants to play. Yes, he wants to be out there with his teammates. And if he's okay to play, he should play. But you should not risk further damage to such a special player, if you get what I'm saying.
Well, do you think that happened tonight? Because him getting pulled coincided with when Matt Barkley came in the game. And I asked Kyle, because the play where Hoyer got hurt, Kyle was actually, I think he was bull rushed by Peppers on that play, if I'm remembering correctly. And I asked him if that was a play he got hurt on. He said no. So assuming he's telling the truth, that means he was playing with that arm situation. So Hoyer goes down, Barkley's in the game. You're going, nah, this is probably a lost situation. Maybe this is the time where the trainers and the coaching staff gets together and says, all right. And they basically do what you just said.
Yes, that's a great observation. I mean, I kind of missed that. I saw the play where, well, Hoyer got hurt, right? And that's the same play Long. That was his last play too, mm-hmm. right? He tried picking up Hoyer. That did not go well because Hoyer wanted to stay down. He was clearly in some dire pain, and we all know now that Brian Hoyer suffered a broken left arm. But yeah, I mean, that's good then. You have to be mindful of that because, look, he said he could return. Right. But what's the point when the game is going to get out of hand or look, it wasn't out of hand yet, but you get what I'm getting at. Right. Mm-hmm. This thing got away from the Bears quickly. You're already missing Josh Sitton, who's got a bad right ankle. You're missing a whole list of other guys. You need this guy to come back in some fashion if you want to win some ball games. Now, again, the season is kind of lost. They're 1-6. They're not going 10-6, people. It's just not going to happen. So it's good. That's a positive development, I would say, from the Bears' perspective on injuries.
Yeah, and kind of as we piece this all together, kind of as we talk and have this conversation right now as we're recording, I think this all kind of makes sense. That's probably how this thing played out tonight. So, all right, let's get to kind of the breakdown of tonight's game, and we have to designate somebody as our player of the game.
Player of the game.
I'll start because I'm going to keep it a Bear. Just obviously the Bear did not have – a Bears player was not the best player in this game. But just to kind of have this conversation because we got to sneak in Leonard Floyd here. Mm-hmm. And Leonard Floyd did have two sacks tonight and the strip sack and fumble recovery in the end zone. For the record, Leonard Floyd has more touchdowns than Kevin White now as a Bear. It's just a statistic. Don't look at me like that. And that's a positive development. I tweeted this when it happened. I mean, for what this season is about the rest of the year, that's what you're looking for. You want to pile up moments like that from your rookies. Nick Kwiatkowski had a moment like that later in the game where he didn't see a whole lot of playing time, but he gets in there and he, who was it? Ty Montgomery, maybe? Whoever it was on the right side, but he was going to walk in for a touchdown, and Kwiatkowski got out there and made the stop, and it was a nice open field tackle to prevent a touchdown. It's plays like that that, even in these losses, big picture, as you were just discussing with Kyle Long, that kind of stuff still matters. So that's why, you know, I'm going to give Leonard Floyd, I've been hard on him, I've been questioning his ability, and he came up big tonight. He showed some ability, and that's a very positive sign. Now, I was wondering why he wasn't really out there in the fourth quarter, but John Fox said he was on a pitch count, and I guess he had reached his pitch count and was taken out.
Well, again, that goes back to their conservative ways with injuries. And again, Leonard Floyd is part of the bigger picture. That's why he sat out with not really a bad calf injury, a strain, but it cost him two games. You just don't want to really hinder a guy you're counting on so much to do so many things, not only this year but beyond. I wrote about Leonard Floyd for tomorrow in the Sun-Times. Forget the score. He needed a game like this. And you know what? When the game was really close, he was producing in key moments for the Bears. I mean, he scored their touchdown. He almost had a near sack in the first quarter, too. But I think Aaron Rodgers kind of shook him off a bit.
But that was a good play because he could have lost. He broke down, and in a good breaking down, like as a defensive player, well, that's a good thing to do. And he didn't let Rodgers get by him. So maybe he coughed up the sack because Rodgers was able to get the ball away. But if he had come in hard, kind of out of control, Rodgers could have sidestepped him and picked up 20 by running the football. So I actually looked at that as a good play.
He really needed this game, though, too. You talked to him. I was there talking to him after the game, and he used the word confidence. It wasn't thrown to him that way, but he said, I feel confident. And you need that. This was a guy who was having more downs than ups in the early going. He had the half sack in the opener, and then from there on, he was getting eaten up. I still remember the week two matchup he had against Lane Johnson, who really took it to him. But now, here, Thursday night, primetime game. He looked good. Now, they're going to stunt him. They're going to move him around, do a lot of different things. But I think you finally saw his athleticism flash, his speed flash. He's got better hands now. I saw that stand out to me. And he's relentless, too. He has that effort that you need, that second effort. That's how he got that strip sack. That's how he recovered it for a touchdown. So a very impressive day for him. He needed that. To me, that's a big takeaway from this game because, again, Matt Barkley's your quarterback. Forget what's going on. Look at individual performances. And you got a great one out of your first-round pick. Now, my player of the game?
Real quick, can I just say that on that same idea with the injuries, I wonder, because we've heard how frustrated Vic Fangio has been with Leonard Floyd's availability, I wonder if, because him missing two games kind of surprised us, especially because the game he got hurt in, John Fox said he could have come back in. I wonder if they said, all right, we just got to get this guy healthy so we can actually evaluate him. Stop with being dinged up and all this. Get him to as close as 100% as possible so that he could potentially have a game like this.
Forget evaluate, so they could develop him, you know, so he could do things at full speed, full strength, and he could apply what he's learning in practice and in the film room and actually do it at the closest to full potential that he can on this field. So I thought it was a great moment, kind of a feel-good moment for him to have in this game. And it was overall just an ugly, rough, appalling night for the Bears for a lot of reasons. But, all right, my player of the game, and I'm just going to say it, we could just move on, Devontae Adams. You know, the Bears, they threw out every single cornerback they had on the roster, active roster tonight. I mean, everybody played tonight for the Bears. Every single player who was active played. And they had no answer for Devontae Adams. And this is a guy who's had problems with drops. He's had to gain Aaron Rodgers' confidence. And what did he have? 13 catches, 132 yards, and two touchdowns. One of those scores was a big blunder by Harold Jones-Quarty and Tracy Porter. I'm pretty sure it was Harold Jones-Quarty who missed his coverage. So, yeah, no answer for Devontae Adams on the Bears side.
And Adams had a concussion on Sunday. It was somewhat surprising that he played in this game today. Maybe that got his head right. I don't know. But, yeah, the Bears struggled there. Really, the Bears, I should tweet out a picture of this game book that we have in front of us. It's just so, I mean, I guess you can get this online too really easily, but looking at the stats between the left side, which is the Bears, and the Packers on the right side, it's unbelievable. Matt Barkley, 6 for 15. Brian Hoyer, 4 for 11. Aaron Rodgers, 39 for 56. 39 for 56, a 39 completions, a franchise record. It was the first time in, was it 8 games that Aaron Rodgers has gone over 300 yards? I think it might have been even more than that. And then with the receiving, you mentioned Devontae Adams had 13 catches on 16 targets. Randall Cobb, 11 catches on 15 targets. Ty Montgomery, 10 catches on 13 targets. That's three receivers with double digits in catches. And on the left side, Alshon Jeffrey, 11 targets, only 3 catches.
You're missing my favorite stats on here. They use receivers as running backs. They had no running backs. Eddie Lacy is hurt. James Starks is hurt. They call up some guy I never heard of.
Who got hurt?
Yeah.
I kept wanting to call him Don Johnson, the actor. You're right. Ty Montgomery, 9. He leads the Packers with 9 rushes. He's a wide receiver. Randall Cobb, 5 rushes. He's their second leading rusher. Was Cobb a former running back too? Montgomery was.
Well, Cobb was a quarterback.
Okay, that's right. So, yeah. So, but that'll be interesting to see what the Packers do going forward here, because they like literally don't have running backs. So our segue.
That's why Aaron Rodgers threw nearly 60 times. Look, they could relax. I like using that word up here with Aaron Rodgers. They could relax. I think he's going to be fine. Obviously, the Bears are not the greatest opponent for him to have. But, look, they needed him to make plays. He was pretty accurate overall. I mean, he did all this tonight. Look, you could say that the Bears are a bad defense, but the Packers also had no running backs. So Aaron Rodgers had to do a lot of this himself, and he put together a pretty good performance, I would say. So everybody up here could relax, in his words.
That's true. And Mike McCarthy actually, I thought, did a great job in the second half of scheming his receivers open, which is something they haven't really done in the past. It just sort of relied on them getting open on their own and Rodgers finding them. So, yeah, I'll give the Packers a lot of credit for what they pulled off here tonight, even though it came against the Bears. All right, moving on.
Biggest concern.
It's got to be the quarterback spot, because if you're going in against the Minnesota Vikings, at least at this point, as we discuss, undefeated, that's a tough defense for Matt Barkley to be facing.
Well, here's another thing to go off that. You gotta your two guards, your two Pro Bowl guards, the strength of your offense, not just your line, but your offense, right? One's in a walking boot before the game, hanging out with his old buddies from Green Bay. The other, you know, is in serious pain in the locker room, you know, using swear words to describe his injury. This isn't good for whoever's back there at quarterback. So I'm just thinking a whim here. Maybe you just throw Barkley out there. Hey, good luck against this amazing defense the Minnesota Vikings have. You know, why bother throwing Jay Cutler out there to get his butt kicked again? You know, it'll be like going back to week ones and two, where he didn't have an offensive line that could really keep him upright. So if you want to keep him healthy, why would you rush him out there? But if you want to win, that's why you force him out there. But, yeah, so my concern is those two guards. You have one in a walking boot. You got one in severe pain in the locker room. Look, this isn't good. Those are arguably your two best players, and they're not healthy right now. So they just join the long list of injured players that the Bears have right now.
By the way, that's not cool how you talked me out of my bold prediction in our last episode, because I said Aaron Rodgers would throw for 3 touchdowns. You're like, that's not bold enough. So I upped it to 4, and sure enough, he threw for 3.
Well, the key word there is bold, Adam. 3 touchdowns against a defense that was missing. They ran everybody out there.
Well, Rodgers hadn't been doing any of this in so long. I thought it was bold.
You were still the one saying he was Aaron Rodgers.
Nothing like the Bears to get you right. All right, and then we'll close things out here with our
biggest answer.
You know, this is sad to say, but the Bears went from a team who we both kind of agreed before the season that at a very minimum, they're going to be a tough out every week. They're kind of going to a team that's turning into a punching bag a little bit. And that's not a criticism of effort or really anything other than the fact that they were limited to begin the season. We knew that. And they're so banged up now. And I said this before the year. You know, if everything goes perfectly, maybe there's a chance they go 9-7 and somehow make the playoffs. If everything goes perfectly. But I also said if they have some key injuries in the wrong spots, they could go 3-13. Well, they're way closer to that side and maybe even worse than I ever thought in terms of key injuries. And 3-13 kind of looks accurate right now.
Well, I think they became a punching bag once Brian Hoyer was knocked out of this game. You know, he got thrown around, and that's why he got hurt. So, yes, you could use the punching bag analogy. But my biggest answer is that Brian Hoyer actually has legit value. I think he's a better backup than some people want to give him credit for. I think he could be a starter for teams that need to have a young quarterback developing in the wings. That may not be here, but you saw how this game kind of changed when he was knocked out of it. Matt Barkley was clearly not the answer. What did he go for? 6-15, 1 sack, 2 interceptions, 18.3 passer rating. Look, I know it's a tough go to begin with on the road, Lambeau Field, primetime game, but Brian Hoyer just looks more complete. So my takeaway out of this is, look, the injury concerns, they're so real. Everything has to be graded on a scale just because of how banged up the Bears are. Now you can add Brian Hoyer to that mix, and you missed him tonight in the second half. I don't think that score, 26-10, is as bad as it is or looks that way if Brian Hoyer is playing.
That's probably true because the defense just got to a point where they were on the field the whole game that Aaron Rodgers is eventually going to kill you. And it was 6-3 at halftime, and the Bears got that defensive touchdown, and they were winning this game actually. And I just think over time, you know, that's an interesting point. I still don't think they win, but Hoyer definitely would have kept this thing closer. Just like, hey, if Cutler had been just available to come off the bench, the Bears might have won this game. I don't think that's crazy.
You know, the random quarterback question of who's what am I looking for? The extra quarterback when everybody gets hurt. It's Zach Miller. What if it reached that point? Because Matt Barkley was kind of thrown around a little bit there, too.
Well, I unfortunately started Zach Miller tonight in fantasy. Would I have gotten credit if he had, like, thrown for touchdowns?
I think so, because you get credit for, like, halfback passes and stuff like that. So I started him, too. Either way, you know, just in general, this is the advice I would give about this season is, look, everything needs to be held in context of the young players developing and all these injuries the Bears have. That puts a strain on coaching, puts a strain on roster moves. The Bears are banged up, and they're not going to get healthy anytime soon. I don't know when Eddie Goldman is coming back. I don't know when Jeremy Langford is coming back. Jay Cutler looks like he's coming back soon, but we still haven't seen him on the field at practice. So, look, it's a long year. Enjoy what the Cubs are doing.
I was just going to say, most importantly tonight, the Cubs won. Were you paying attention to the game during the game?
Actually, I lost track. Tight deadline games for us old newspaper guys kind of steer your attention away. But I was keeping track thanks to my lovely wife text messaging me almost play-by-play as a score, as the Cubs kept scoring.
See, JD and I had it streaming on my lap, or on my iPad down at the other end of the press box. You should have been there. And actually, as we wrap things up here, you can read. I'm doing a little something different with my column tonight, incorporating the Cubs into it a little bit too. Because what is there really? I mean, we gotta get creative here with the Bears the rest of the season.
You're just poaching hits. That's exactly what you're doing.
You can read it at WGNradio.com/Bears, and you can read Adam's Leonard Floyd story at ChicagoSunTimes.com. This is episode 59 of Intentional Grounding, the Danny Trevathan episode. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Follow the podcast at INT Grounding Pod. In fact, you can still weigh in on this weekend's games. And if you missed our preview for this weekend's NFL and college football games, you can still go back to our last episode, episode 59. You're going to want to skip forward about halfway through because we spent the first half previewing this game that already happened. But given that it's a Thursday night game, you can fast forward halfway through, still get our picks for Sunday's games and also Saturday's college football games that we do every single week. So that's out there for you as well. Find the podcast on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. Please rate it. Please review it. We appreciate you doing that. Any final thoughts?
No. Go Cubs, go.
And with that, we make our long drive back down I-43 towards Chicago. Maybe next year we can finally get a day game up here at Lambeau. It's been 6 straight years of night games.
Nice. Real nice. Way overdue.
Maybe like a noon game. Maybe not all these primetime games for the Bears, who unbelievably will be out Monday Night Football next week. I kind of feel bad for them, to be honest. With all the injuries, that's not a fair position to be in. Maybe they should start flexing Monday night games as well. All right, everybody. We will talk to you next week as we preview week 8.